Hey, if you're joining us online, we appreciate you tuning in to Navigation Church. We're in the middle, actually, we're at the very end of a conversation called I Am Not a Hostage. And so we appreciate you tuning in. It originally was a three-week series, but it's only two. So today you're going to get a lot of practical information. If you're just now tuning in, if you're just now joining us for this conversation, I'm going to give you a quick recap of last week. But before I give you a quick recap of last week, I want to tell you about an interesting thing that happened to me this week. And I've always been told, you know, be vulnerable up on stage, be honest about where you're at in life. And so the other morning I was laying in bed, it was early. I'd love to tell you I was there praying, but it wasn't. I was just getting up, and my baby girl, who breathes like Darth Vader. I mean, she's like Princess Fiona, but snores like the ogre. Like, she's right here. She's adorable, but snores. And I was laying there, and all of a sudden, I went to move, and I moved my toes, and my toes, like, scraped my sheets, and I thought to myself, man, I really need to trim my toenails. Like, has anyone ever woke up and thought that in the morning? Two of you. Is anyone already feeling like I'm giving out too much information? It's like, hey, be vulnerable, you know, in your marriage, but not with your hygiene. So apparently my bunions are where you guys cross the line, so... But no, I was laying in bed and I thought to myself, man, I need to trim those things. And the picture I got, have you ever seen Dumb and Dumber? Like, it wasn't that bad, but they were gnarly. So I knew I needed to take care of them. Got up, went into the restroom. And in the morning, you have your normal restroom routine, shower, brush, deodorant. If you don't have those three, add them now. Next thing I know, I get dressed, I get in the car. It's about 30 minutes later, I'm actually in my car, and I adjusted my toes and my shoes, and I thought to myself, dear Lord, I did not trim my toenails. There is a point to this. You're just sitting there seeing if there is one. And here's what it is. Duke University did a study, and they said that 40% of our daily routine isn't done because of decisions, it's done because of habits. So when I went in to go to the restroom that morning and get ready, I went into the habit of getting ready. There's not a whole lot that happens here. I'm not styling my hair. I'm not flossing. I mean, I'm just kidding. So, like, but when I got into that normal routine, and you've probably done this before, have you ever got in your car to head home? You're about halfway home and you realize, I haven't been thinking about driving. Right? Because you get in the car and you go. How many have ever went to, like, maybe go to the store, you jump in, next thing you know, you're headed to work? Right? Because you went on vacation to Bora Bora, and next thing you know, you're like, oh, wait a second, I missed my turn. You turn around. It's also the reason why this past Valentine's Day, 92% of all New Year's resolutions have failed already. Why? Because you're not making the decision in order to do the thing that you decided you were going to do. You've fallen back into the habits that you've always done. And so you're back into your normal routine. So the thing that you always wanted to change, you didn't change because you didn't make a conscious decision to do it. So we don't have a goal problem in our life when we want to change. We have a systems problem. Right? Our system has always got what we've always had. Now we want something different. So we set our dreams and we set our goals and we have these lofty expectations. But next thing you know, our systems kick back into place and we get what we've always had. Now, when it comes to you being a hostage to sin, I believe one of the main reasons is because of our systems, because of our routines, because of our habits. But we cannot forget what we talked about last week. If you weren't here last week, you have to go listen to the tape because this little two-minute nugget, you're going to just get offended. Or tape, yeah. If you listen to the tape, you're listening to the wrong church. Like, get your pencil out, tighten that thing up, and get it back on. So, that's so funny. You definitely, just so you know, someone called me out over there. That's why I looked right, tape. Okay, so last week, here's what we talked about. We talked about Romans 7, verses 15 through 18. We're going to just read through this quickly, and then we're going to summarize it. If you want more information, you have to just go listen to last week. It says this, I do not understand what I do. Give someone an amen that, please. Like, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, what I despise, what I can't stand, that bad habit, that decision that always haunts me, that routine that I'm constantly stuck in, that's what I always do. That's why I have bad toenails. And if I do What I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. So listen, if I don't do what's natural to me, I actually say that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, it's the sin living in me. So last week, here's what I told us all. Here's what we discussed, and I think most of us are on the same page. We keep focusing on the sinning issue, but the reality is we are sinners, which is the issue. It's the sin inside of us. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. And we talked about you not being like God because God is perfect and you're not perfect. And since you're not perfect, that means you're ungodly, right? And so it says, that is my sinful nature. This is what's inside of me. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. So last week, what we discussed, what we talked about was through Adam, this is Romans chapter 5, through Adam, sin entered the world, but through Jesus, freedom entered the world. So we have to get out of this old mindset into the new mindset. So our phrase for last week was this: I am not a hostage to sin. Three of you said it with me. Now I need everyone. Ready for this? I am not a hostage to sin. So the number one reason you are a hostage is a sin issue. We're not going to change that. We're not going to delete that. But we're going to add to it. Because last week, could I say this? We tried to create a new identity for who we are. So this week, if you're here, I'm telling you now, I'm going to give a lot of practical steps on to change on how to be a hostage. But the first thing that we need to change was our thinking. So my question for you, it starts with this. Who do you want to be? Because if I said, do you want to be a hostage to your issues? Can everyone just say the word no right now? I mean, if you said yes, there are great counselors out there that you need to go talk to, because no one is self-deprecating like that. Everyone wants to be good. Everyone wants to be free. Everyone wants to be able to make decisions on their own. And so first thing we need to start with is, who do you want to be? For me, I would like to be a man of God. Right? Doesn't that sound simple? But I would like to be God. You know what I would like to be? I would like to be a good father. I would like to, last night when the kids were playing the game Sorry, and all of a sudden there was a chance for someone to jump someone else to go into first place and put another kid way at last, I don't want to be the dad that goes, do the move, just switch it, make him lose. But I feel like that adds to competition, but is it love? Like, I don't know. Sorry is such a confusing sport because the very sport. It's a full contact sport in our house. I'm not going to lie. Like, there are elbows being thrown. But yet at the same time, to be honest with you, my wife and I were both going, we're just tired tonight. I would rather lay on the couch and only watch a movie. But I have a desire. Who do I want to be? I want to be a good father. You know what I'd like to be? This may sound crazy to you. I actually want to be a good husband to my wife. Men, hang on a second. No. I know the men of our house right now. I want to be a good husband to my wife. Thank you. I heard two women say amen. Do you women need a chance? You want a good husband in your life. Thank you. So, but women, wow, that was so loud. I got to be honest. Like, I would have thought there was a megaphone coming from, for those watching on my life, my wife sits over in this direction. So I don't think she's ever amened a single thing I've said in a sermon, but that one came out. So, but what if you say this? I want to be sober. Right? What if you say this? I want to be financially free. I am so tired of every month when this credit card bill comes in the mail, when my house bill shows up, insurance bill shows up, like, oh my gosh, we went to the doctor and all of a sudden we're going to have a copay we didn't plan on, so now this is getting pushed back. I know I have 15 days to pay before I'm late, but if I wait 30 days when it comes to my mortgage, you know what I'd like to do? I would like to one day be able to have cash in hand and actually take my wife out to a meal, not stressing about it 30 days later. I want to be financially free. Who do you want to be in your life? Who do you want to be in your world? And by the way, if you've come up with a list of five, pretty soon I'm going to tell you to stop it. Who is the one thing in 2019 that you want to be known, that you want it to be? Because I would say this, and we talked about it last week, but I'm going to put words to it this week. Step number one in no longer being a hostage, can I say this, to your habits, is you have to make it known who you want to be. You have to make it known of who you want to be, because your identity will shape your actions. Because if I know who I want to be, the moment I know who I want to be, I know what I need to do to be. That is a horrible sentence, but I think it makes sense. Ready? Ready for this? The moment I know who I want to be is the moment I know what I need to do in order to be. Right? Because all of a sudden, what I think will end up determining how I act. And how I act determines what happens in the world around me. And guess what? If I act long enough, you begin changing who you are. So step number one today is I'm going to say this. Make it known. When it comes to changing who you are, you have to make it known. Because listen, if you can't identify it, you can't change it. And then I'm going to give you one more little key as we're standing right here. And I would say this. Make who you want to be in present tense. Amen. Okay, I don't worry. I have an example because even when I wrote it, I went, oh, great, English comments again. Okay, so if you are in the middle of an addiction to cigarettes, but you do not want to smoke anymore, do not say the phrase, I'm trying to quit smoking. Say the phrase, I used to smoke. Because if you say, I'm trying to quit smoking, you find yourself still identifying with someone you don't want to be. But the moment your words start saying, I used to be a smoker, you've now put it in your past and you're identifying more with your future than the past that used to hold you. So in your present tense, talk as if your future victory is already living in the current moment. That way you can tell your future or your past where it can stay. So who do you want to be? What's the future you're moving towards? Who do you want to be is the future that you're moving toward. Which brings us to point number two. Point number two, I'll tell you what it is in a second. But first, I want to tell you about a guy. How many of you have ever heard of a guy named Samson before? This is one of those pretty famous characters. Why? Because big, muscular guy in the Bible, grabbed a donkey jawbone, busted a few heads. Anybody remembers that song? God bless you. Thank you, Carmen, for sticking that forever in our head. So Samson, at this time, he was a judge. What does a judge do? Ready for this? The Bible's so confusing. A judge judges. There you go. Okay, end of that sermon. Who do they judge? The children of Israel. So the children of Israel, who are God's chosen people, are supposed to be living and building a nation according to some laws a guy named Moses gave them. But Moses is dead and gone. Joshua is dead and gone. So God says this, I need some people to continually judge how my children of Israel are doing, building a nation by the laws that I gave them. Does that make sense? And I will tell you now, they did good, they did bad, judge showed up and helped. They did good, they did bad, judge showed up, they helped. Seven times this happened. Samson happened to be one of the judges. Samson, most amazing verse, I don't have it on the board for you, I'll just tell you what. Judges 16, verse 1, it says, Samson one day went down to Gaza in order to see a prostitute. I'm so glad no one said amen there. I got to be honest. I was nervous. I'm like, do you think it? Okay, so here's why this is a big deal. Gaza is the headquarters of a people named the Philistines. Anyone ever heard of them before? The Philistines. Here's who Samson was to the Philistines. Samson was their number one enemy. Samson was on every post office most wanted list. They even replaced the missing child on the milk cartons with Samson, we must kill him. Like, Samson is number one bad guy. And Samson, because he decided he needed to see a prostitute, he walked to Gaza from his hometown, which is a mere 25 miles away by foot, which roughly comes to over 52,000 steps. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to throw this out, at anywhere along the line of walking into enemy territory, step by step, do you think Samson ever thought to himself, because I know we have, this may be a bad idea? Yeah. Right? Because I've never heard of anyone who thought about maybe having an affair, but then a step later was in bed with someone. Right? It was a conversation. It was a text message. It was a private email. It was a rendezvous. It was actually, sorry, I ran out of space. So, like, it was driving to the place. It was getting a hotel room. It was going up the elevator. It was saying hi when they knocked on the door. It's all these little steps. So positive and negative, here's the truth. Positive and negative, small decisions lead to big results. So positive, if you take a bunch of positive steps, they'll lead to big results. If it's negative, it's still small steps to get where you're eventually going to go. And when you get there, it's going to have a big result. So Samson, here's what I'm going to say. Samson, I'm going to jump to a whole thing. Question I have for you. What is the bad habit you need to break? Because I'm thinking Samson, somewhere along these 25 miles, 52,000 plus steps, 2-day travel, at some point he probably had to say, man, I need to break the bad habit of going to see a prostitute. You would think so. Take the word prostitute out, fill in the blank. What is the one blank that you need to break? Because here's what it is. The desire for Samson, can I say the word libido? I don't know. Like, okay, I just did. I guess I should have texted the question before asking it out loud. Samson had an internal drive to fulfill something. And he really needed to break that bad habit before walking into Gaza and seeing a prostitute. Because go ahead and read on for yourself. It doesn't work out well for him. Right? It has devastating results. So here's what I'm going to read to you the steps that we're going to take. Proverbs 4, verses 14 through 15. Do not set foot on the path of wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. This isn't to Samson, but you feel like it could be. Hey, Samson, you're on the wrong path. Hey, David, you're on the wrong path. And I'll just use Pastor Brent, you're on the wrong. Pastor Aaron, you're on the wrong. Like at some point, we got to get off the steps. How do we do it? Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it. Go on your way. The author of Proverbs right here says four different ways of stop, quit, turn around, U-turn, anything, freeze. Right? Because he's saying this is the way of evildoers. You're only going towards death and destruction. Stop, stop, stop. So number one, when it comes to no longer being a hostage, you need to make it known who you are. Now, step number two, when it comes to how do you break a bad habit, make it hard. What do I mean by making it hard? Let's just give some practical examples. If you have so this is an example that happened to happen this morning, but so my wife hit the snooze button this morning, which by the way, is not an issue for us. We normally don't. But in bed this morning, I was thinking, I wonder if there's people that have a problem. You want to get up early, maybe go work out, maybe pray, maybe have a healthy breakfast, but you have a habit of hitting your snooze button. And this to you is a bad habit that you want to quit. See, right now, I think all of you are going, he's going to talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He's going to talk about the major issues of life. What if I tell you maybe one of your small bad habits needs to be small on purpose just to prove to yourself you can break it? So you have a problem hitting your snooze button. You need to make it hard to hit your snooze button. Unplug your clock or plug in your phone. Does anyone actually use a clock anymore to set a snooze? Okay, the rest of us, plug our phones in, plug them into the other side of the room so that when your alarm goes off, you have to physically get up, get out of bed to go turn it off. Now you're out of bed. You've made it hard to hit your snooze button. Now you have the decision to live by the new habit that you want to live by and go into the bathroom and forget to trim your toenails, but you did everything else. We're keeping bringing that back up. All of you, you want me to take off my shoes right now. Okay. Look at that. Like the 40 days of prayer, we're all on the same page. Praise God. Praise God. Unity, one accord. Read Acts 3. So that was so for my entertainment. So make it difficult. Some of you have a problem maybe with shopping. Maybe with Amazon. You know why? Amazon's beautiful. There's something actually called, I just heard the word careful. I love that. Praise God. So you're the issue. There's actually something called, it's called one click. Do you know this? Anything you want in the world, you can click and it just comes. If you have a shopping problem, here's an idea. Give your best friend your logon. Have them change that. Every time you need to buy something, you have to get approval from them. I just solved your clicking problem. But I have a question. Is it a bad habit keeping you from who you want to be? Is this a step keeping you from who it is? Because if it is, hit it off. And so you say, oh, what about that? Let me ask you this. If it's just an overall spending problem, what if you go home today, grab a pair of scissors, cut up your main credit card? I guarantee for the next 7 to 10 days, you can't buy anything because they have to mail you a new card. And then if it comes back and the next day you make up for lost time, cut it again. What is the one thing that you're going to do in order to make your bad habit incredibly hard to do? Because if you do, you're going to do this. You're going to avoid it. You're not going to travel on it. You're going to turn away from it. You're going to go a different way. What different way are you going to go? Who you want to become. So step number one, make it known. Step number two, make it hard. Step number three is going to be make it easy. Make it hard. Make it easy. I'll figure that out. How many know a guy named Daniel? Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel in the fiery furnace. Daniel's 21-day fast. Thank you for whoever invented that. Right? So you have a guy named Daniel. When he first got into captivity, one of the things that he did was he created a habit of praying three times a day. Every day he prayed. Because he set up a system where every time I eat breakfast, I'm going to go pray afterwards. And then after I eat lunch, I'm going to go pray afterwards. After I eat dinner, I'm going to go pray afterwards. And he set up, actually, it set up so much that what he did was known to the people around him that when they wanted to try to kill him, they used his prayer life against him. That's how much of a routine that Daniel was in order to pray every day. So step number one that we kind of covered last week, but we're putting words to it this week, make it known, make what known, who I want to become. Then in order to become who you want to become, what's the bad habit keeping you from that? But then question number three, which I know we're shoving a lot into one sermon, but keep in mind this was supposed to be a three-week series, but the snow kept us away, so here's the third one. What is the one thing you need to start doing in order to become who you want to be? Right? Because James 1:21 says this, get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conducts, right? Step one or step two, we got rid of our bad habit. But then submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your heart, which is able to save you. We do not rise to the level of our dreams. We settle down to the standard of our habits. Because I dream about doing this, and I dream about doing that, and I dream about being, but you know what I end up doing? I end up getting up in the morning, using the restroom, taking a shower, coming out, brushing my teeth, putting on some deodorant, usually putting on the wedding ring, get dressed, walk out the door, and I never bother trimming my toenails. Because I drop down to the standard of my habits versus living up to the dreams that I have in my life. The dream of getting up in the morning. You know what I dream? I dream about getting up in the morning and praying. I dream about getting up in the morning and reading a scripture. I dream about getting up in the morning and exercising. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh on that one, but felt like that should have been an example. But you know what we do? Here's why we don't start good habits. Because for me, before I was married, I know how much I used to work out and what it took to work out at that level. So in my mind now, I think if I need to start working out again, it's 40 minutes in the gym, it's one body part a day, 6 days on, 1 day's off, and I never want to get back to that level because it seems overwhelming. Maybe I should start this. Why? When it comes to starting a good habit in your life, make it easy. What if I start today by doing 10 push-ups? 10 push-ups. I can't do 10 push-ups, do 5 push-ups. Do 5 push-ups, and if you, 5 push-ups, get on your knees, do 5 push, do 1 push-up, fall on the ground, stand back up, and call it a burpee. Do something and say, I exercise, you know what I am? I'm an athlete, right? Because I'm making it a present tense thing. I'm an athlete. What did you do today? I burpeed. Why? Because getting up and getting down, I actually burped. Like, that's how much junk is inside of me. Like, make it easy. And then you're like, well, if I want to start praying every day, but like when we pray around here, it's either a half hour or an hour, and that seems long. Why don't you start with 1 minute? Which, by the way, if you don't know how to pray, oh, yeah, you know I'm going to plug. Okay, but we will teach you. But if you're like, oh, I don't know how to pray, and how do you pray for that long? Start with 5 minutes. If 5 minutes is too long, go to 3 minutes. If it's not 1 minute, what if you wake up in the morning and say this, God, this is weird, because I'm talking to no one in my room, but I think you can hear me. I love you this morning. Selah. Selah means you know more than amen. That's just add that one to you. Like, and then you're like, okay, I want to read the Bible. Because when you read the Bible, you know what we're going to do this next year? We're going to read the whole Bible in 1 year. And then all of a sudden, you hit this book called Leviticus. Like, this is the most boring thing I've ever read. You're right. Wait till you get to Numbers. I'm not kidding. It's brutal. Like, numbers literally just is a list of names that none of us can pronounce. So what if we try this? This is going to sound crazy to you. What if today you read a scripture? One. And then tomorrow, you read one trip. Why? Because we want to start a new habit. Why? Because we know who we want to be, and who I want to become is a man of God. But in order to be a man of God, I have to know something about God. So to know something about God, I need to start reading my Bible. And in reading my Bible, I get overwhelmed by a scripture, so or a chapter, so I'm going to read a verse. All of a sudden, I read a verse. I'm excited about this one verse. Tomorrow, craziest thing might happen, nutsiest thing. I may read two verses. And then there could be a day that I get in and I start reading about a guy named Samson in Judges 16 or Daniel in, well, the book of Daniel. And all of a sudden, I love this whole story. You may read an entire chapter of the Bible that a month ago you didn't think you could. Why? Because somewhere along the line, you said, I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. You know what? I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better employee. So I'm going to start reading the book of Proverbs in order to try to get basic nuggets in my life. All of a sudden, guess what? Maybe you pray for a whole 5 minutes. Maybe you start tucking your kids down at night and you realize last night, do you realize I got the privilege? I prayed over every one of my children for their future spouse. And if 10 years old, if my Jude is looking at a girl, so help me. Like it's way too early for that. But what if I say, God, I ask for my boys to be the husband that their wives are already becoming? Like, you get to pray for that. And all of a sudden you leave and you're like, God, I'm praying for their future and I'm excited about this. And it's no longer a burden. It's no longer a job. It's actually a part of who you are. And it's because of who you are that you're no longer a slave. You're no longer hostage. You're free because you're starting to embrace the true identity of Christ. And so here's, I'm going to give you a couple hints. Is the decision that you're making a good decision or a bad decision? Or can I say it this way, a good habit or a bad habit? Here's a quick snapshot. Most good habits have no short-term immediate gratification, but they have long-term huge ramifications or payoffs. Right? Because the first time, let's just use working out, the first time you go to work out, the next morning you wake up, and when you go to trim your toenails, you can barely sit down because your thighs hurt so bad and you did not know you had a butt that was like, oh my goodness. So you have no long-term, or you have no short-term immediate gratification because you hurt. But then somehow 5, 10, 20 years down the road, you go to the doctor at 60 and he says this, wow, you have the body of a 40-year-old. Because long-term, it's going to have huge payoff. Short-term, it doesn't feel good not to swipe the credit card to get one more donut, to buy one more outfit, to go in debt for a better-looking car. But years down the road, when you have a retirement fund and you're not a slave to a 9-to-5 job, guess what? It has long-term ramifications. But when it comes to bad habits, they usually have, can I say it this way, a perceived immediate gratification. I'll use smoking. So you're stressed out, you're worried, you're freaking out, you grab a cigarette, you take a drag, and what happens? Nicotine hits your body, you feel relaxed because you got that little shot of nicotine, you feel good, all of a sudden you're able to push away because you took deep breaths, which is what some people say to do without even smoking. You take a couple deep breaths, you feel better about yourself, fast forward 20, 30, 40 years, and you have some type of lung cancer, lung disease, body dysfunction. Why? Because long-term, bad decisions have horrible and negative payoffs. So are you in it for the short game or the long game? Because I'll tell you this, that God wants you to be in it for the long game. Because I do not believe God created any of us that originally started off by saying this, man, I want to make some negative decisions in my life that have long-term horrible ramifications. I've never met anybody. I talked to someone the other day, actually it was at a funeral home just this past Friday, And they were telling me about someone who passed away because of drug overdose. And I told them, I said, do you notice that you've never met an old junkie? They're not out there. Why? Because I doubt they woke up one morning and said this, I'm going to experiment with this pill that'll eventually lead me to a green cigarette that will want me to take a needle and put it into my vein so that one day I steal and lie to my family in order to get any drug that I can to become temporarily numb in order to escape this world. I don't think anyone ever started off by saying this. I don't think anyone ever started by saying, you know what I want to do? I want to start gambling in order to get a temporary sense of high, but knowing that long term I'll lose more money than I make in order to financially bankrupt my family, that'll put stress on my wife that it shouldn't, and no future for my kids that they could have, and eventually my marriage will fall apart, my kids will end up leaving me, and all I'll have is debt that I can't pay, and it makes me feel suicidal. No one starts off by saying that. And here's why I don't think it happens, because I don't think God created us to be in a bondage. I don't think God created us to be a hostage. I believe God created you to make good decisions in your life so that you could be a reflection of who He is in the world around you, because you are made in the image of God. You were knit in your mother's womb. In order for a day to come along where you confess Jesus as your Savior, and then He makes you who you're supposed to be, because who you are is His, and His is meant to be life and life abundant. And so today, the three simple steps or questions that I have is, who do you think you're supposed to be? What is the bad habit that you need to start making incredibly difficult to do? And what is the good habit you need to start by making it easy to do? And every good thing, in order to lead down this, and I would hope you're not here just going, wow, this, you know, this is a real good self-help message. No, this self-help message is all brought to you in part by Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us these steps. Jesus gave us this willpower. Jesus gave this ability in order to become who we are. So if you're here today and you don't know who Jesus Christ is, 2,000 years ago, God was in heaven and realized that we were separated from Him. And we were separated for so long, He couldn't handle it anymore. There was so much. How many, if I said this, you felt dirty on the inside? God was so tired of us feeling dirty on the inside. Last week we called it what it was, sin that was separating us. Jesus stepped out of heaven onto earth in order to die for us on a cross so that we could have life and life abundant. So His light inside of us could be shining to the world around us so that we can actually be known as made in His image. And if you're here today and you're ready not to be a hostage to your issues anymore, if you're ready to start with some good habits in your life, I promise you the greatest decision that you can possibly make is not to do it on your own, but to do it with God. And the way to do it with God is to believe in your heart that He died for your sins. And then the next thing we do is we actually confess it with our mouth. And I'm just going to ask you right now, if you're here today and you'd like to know Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand in the air. But to make you as comfortable as I possibly can, could I just ask everybody to honor those around you that may be ready to make a life-changing decision day? Could I ask everyone to just close your eyes? And really what I'm asking you to do is separate yourself from someone sitting next to you so that if they're ready to make a decision for Christ, they have the freedom to do so. So if you're here right now, if you're watching us online, and you are ready to say yes to Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior, if you're ready to say yes to no longer being a hostage, if you're ready to say yes to starting off with the best good habit that you could possibly have, and that's saying yes to Him, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you, bowed right now, if that's you, could I just ask you to simply raise your hand in the air just so that I can see that you've made that decision? Praise God. I see hands going up all around this room. Praise God. If you're watching us online right now, the same question is going to go out to you, and I'm going to ask you to simply raise your hand. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you're doing. It may feel awkward, but it'll be a decision that you always remember by action that you currently took. And then since so many hands went up around this room, could I just ask everyone to do me a favor? Could everyone say this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, today I no longer want to be a hostage, but I want to be free. But the only way is to be freed by You. Today, I accept You as my Savior. Become Lord of my life and forgive me of my sins. Heavenly Father, I thank You for those that have made a decision to say yes to You. Lord, I just, every single Sunday when we see hands go up, I'm amazed at the good works that You continue to do in all of our lives. We honor them today. We celebrate with them. But then for the rest of us that know that there is a place that we need to break the hostage habit in our life, help us know who we want to become. Point out the bad decisions or bad habits that we need to make difficult and break. But then, God, what is the one strategic habit that we need to start
in order to become the person you're calling us to. We thank you for your work in our life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hey, can we put our hands together and celebrate with those that made a decision today?